Remain standing, take out your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. I knew it. I didn't know it.
Psalm 23, verse 1. There it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we ask again that you would please fill me afresh with your Spirit. Lord, I need to be guided by you, not my notes, not my preparation, Lord, but by your Spirit. And so I pray that you would lead and guide me, Lord, that I would be that sail in the wind, sensitive to your leadings and your promptings, and that, Lord, you would bring forth your word and that you would use it to produce fruit in the lives of your sheep. So, good shepherd, we come to you, dependent upon you to do the work of the preaching of your word and the fruit that would be produced because of it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time I preached was Father's Day, 2 weeks ago. And we were talking about how in the Old Testament, the believers never refer to God as Father. But then in the New Testament, we see 275 times where people referred to the Lord as Father, or they were encouraged to do so. And all the things that came with that. And so today, I've got to put him on the spot for the purpose of this, so that you would all pick on him. Today is my son Sam's birthday. My baby boy, who's like a foot and a half taller than me. So make sure you pick on him. I wasn't going to say anything, but then I thought, all these people that could harass him, how can I pass that opportunity up? Well, the other relationship that is laid out in Scripture is the shepherd and the sheep. And those two terms, father, child, shepherd, and sheep, are the most tender, caring relationships that are repeated in the Word of God. They're used over and over and over again. And sheep was the favorite term of Jesus when he was referring to Christians. And the reason is this. Because we are like sheep. We are like sheep. So, what are we like? Well, here's what... I have a friend of mine who's a shepherd. Has been raising sheep for a long, long time and other animals, but also just studying what are sheep like. Here's what sheep are like. This is why Jesus referred to us as sheep. They're weak. They're defenseless. There's probably few animals that are more defenseless than a sheep. They're foolish. They're very, very fearful. Yet they are also one of the most stubborn animals that there are. They like to wander. They wander around. And they're also extremely dependent. When I was talking to my friend, he said that there's no other livestock that requires more diligent day and night care than sheep. He said it's unbelievable. Sheep are in a category all their own. And so there's a reason why God's word calls us sheep. And we have a good shepherd. And that's the main point here today is this, that your good shepherd is relentlessly vigilant, he is constantly attentive, and he is patiently loving you. That's our good shepherd. You know, the word of God is not arranged randomly. God has a purpose behind where books are, etc. He used man to arrange them. But what's amazing is this, is in order to be in the flock of this loving, good shepherd and to truly know the sweetness of his care in Psalm 23, in order to really get that, you must first pass through the gate of Psalm 22. You know what Psalm 22 is referred to as? The Psalm of the Cross. Isn't that interesting? In order to have the Lord be your good shepherd, you have to go through the cross. Take a look at just a few verses. John touched on John chapter 10 last week. There we go. John 10, 9 through 9 and 11. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now in Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Does that sound familiar? See why this psalm is called the Psalm of the Cross? And in Psalm 23, 6 and 3, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's through the cross that your good shepherd provides for all his sheep's spiritual and physical needs. It's the gate of the cross. That's how we come into the family. We were separated from God. We were the wild animals. We were the wild animals devouring him. I have a picture in my office of a guy who is being hugged by Jesus from the back, and he's got a hammer and the nails in his hands. That's who we were. And what happened is that we were separated from God. God made a way in his kindness and his goodness and his grace and his mercy. He sent his son, Jesus, and he put on flesh, lived the perfect sinless life for us that was required by the law, and then went to the cross and was punished for the sins of all who would believe. And then we talk about this great exchange, that Christ's righteousness was imputed to us and our sin was imputed to him. And the great exchange happened. And we were adopted into the family. And a great transformation happened. You were wild animals and we became sheep of the good shepherd as we received that gift of salvation. It's through the cross that the good shepherd provides for all the physical and spiritual needs of his sheep. It says here, goodness and mercy shall follow me in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy, goodness is just God meeting our needs. And mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Forgiveness for our sin. And I love verse 3. He restores my soul. He forgives us. He sanctifies us. He strengthens us. The good shepherd does that for us. He does that in us. We can see how the cross provided all that we needed spiritually and physically. And what we see here is that the good shepherd knows each of the sheep intimately. Each of the sheep intimately. One of the sweetest things, if you haven't noticed this and you get a chance to, read through Psalm 23 and see all the personal pronouns. I, me, my. He. It's just sweet. You know, we got all this mix-up about personal pronouns now in this world. Just look at the sweetness of the Word of God and read that and see how God just, the intimacy that He desires with us. Take a look at these few verses. John chapter 10, 14 through 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. It's not an intellectual know. It's an intimate know. Like Adam knew Eve. God knows you. This intimacy. This closeness. Not just information to him. You're not just another data point for him. He intimately knows you. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Look at how he's paralleling that. That's unbelievable. And I lay down my life for the sheep. In Psalm 23:1, the verse we read, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He knows each sheep's name. And they recognize his voice. You read in the book of Revelation that your name is written in the book of life if you're a believer today. Your name is written. God knows your name. You're not some number. You're not some, oh, there's this many people going to La Crescent Free and he's one of them or she's one of them. He knows you intimately. And he cares for you personally. Shepherding really, as John shared last week, in Isaiah's time and then in the New Testament time, shepherding, the way they shepherded the sheep, was very, very similar. I would encourage you, years ago I had a book about shepherding during the time of Christ, and it laid out what shepherding was like. And it really opened up my eyes to the intimacy and the care that these words reflect. Even my friend told me, he said, I didn't understand quite those things until I was more of a shepherd. And he said, and then I saw truths that were so deep here that I didn't see before. And one of the things that happened was that a lot of times numerous flocks would be gathered into one particular area to guard at night. And so there were numerous shepherds with numerous flocks. And as the sheep went in there, what the shepherd would do is he'd examine each of his sheep individually. He'd check them over. He'd find out if any of them were sick or hurt. He would have that this personal care. And this is a reflection of what Christ is talking about when he's talking about, I know my sheep. He knows you intimately. And what the shepherd would do is he would take special care and attention to those sheep that were hurt, that were wounded, that were sick. He would stop. He'd move the healthy ones on a little bit more so, and then he'd stop and he'd take care of those wounded sheep, those hurting sheep. You know, your good shepherd knows all the struggles and hurt that you're going through, the questions that you have. He knows you so intimately. And, you know, we walk into church and, you know, how's everything going? Oh, it's great. Yet we all carry burdens to church. Everyone. Everyone in this room has burdens. Some more easily seen than others, but we all have our stuff. And the idea that we have this wonderful, good shepherd who cares. Who cares that we were not accepted by this group of people or that group of people, or that he cares that you know, you feel distant from someone. He knows the burdens you're carrying. And he wants to lift those. As it says in his word, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. He understands your physical condition, and maybe the struggles that you're going through that don't have answers and you don't know what's going to occur. And he knows that. He knows you intimately and he cares for you. He cares for you. And he desires to minister to you. He knows all those things that nobody else knows. And he doesn't cast you away because of them. He says, come to me. Come to me. He knows your hurts and your fears and your pains and your trials and your failures and your sin. And he still loves you. And he still delights in being your good shepherd. That's so far from what we can register in our hearts and in our heads. But that's the truth of the Word of God. The focus isn't so much of the messiness of the sheep as much as the care of the shepherd. That's the focus of Psalm 23. It's about the shepherd, not the sheep. It's about who our Jesus is for us. And what happens is that intimacy with the good shepherd produces confidence that he will care for you. as we draw close to Jesus, our confidence in Him caring for us increases. I used this example in the first service. It's kind of like a dog, right? You know, cats are different. If you have cats, you're your cat's assistant, right? Cats are so independent, right? That's just the way cats are. It's just like you bother them. But dogs are just like, man, they're always happy to see you. And the more attention you give them, right, the more they trust you. The more they are willing to let you take them maybe to places, you know, like when certain dogs, if fireworks go out, they get afraid. And if you teach them when they're younger, you know, don't worry about it. They're confident because you're with them. And it's the same thing with the sheep and the shepherd. Is that as they draw, as that intimacy, that relationship with the shepherd increases and deepens, that the confidence that the sheep have in the shepherd increases. They're not afraid anymore. They're not worried. Why? Because the shepherd's here. He'll take care of me. That's what we see here. It says here, I shall not want. Does that mean that your experience in life where you have had needs and wants that have been unfulfilled, that this scripture is wrong? Not at all. Because what that means is I shall not want is that you won't be lacking anything that the good shepherd thinks is good for you spiritually or physically. See, what happens is we have things that we want because we get caught up in the world, right? And we say, I need this. And we got to have a bigger this or a nicer that or whatever it might be. And we're not satisfied with the provision of the good shepherd. So what happens is we interpret this and say, hey, maybe that scripture's wrong. I have wants and needs. You say, well, put it in the perspective of scripture. I shall not want. I love the future tense there as well. I shall not want anything that the good shepherd knows is good for me physically or spiritually. Nothing. That's the confidence that is being portrayed here. I trust him. He will take care of me. He will give me everything I need. Everything that I need. The good shepherd will supply all the needs of his sheep. That's the pattern of a shepherd with a sheep. That's the promise of the in the Word of God. Take a look at God's Word. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have everything you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then another beautiful part of Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And then Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Boy, they're rowdy out there, aren't they? Can somebody just walk and say, seriously, somebody just walk and say, hey, guys, could you keep it down a little bit? I don't want the people in the back to be disturbed. Sorry. Way to go, Justin. What happens is that the good shepherd will guide you to provision. That's what the green pastures are. You know, this isn't a prosperity gospel, but it also is telling us that God is going to take care of us and there's green pastures. There's these beautiful green fields of food. He will supply all of our needs. And the Good Shepherd will guide you to the provision that He wants to give you in your life and peace. Peace. That's those still waters. You know, when life is crazy, and you're worried about everything, and you just need the peace of God, and the shepherd will guide you to those still waters, those quiet places where the peace of God settles into you. And he will guide you by leading you to himself. He will guide you by leading you to Himself through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. I love this statement here. He makes me lie down. You ever think about that? He makes me lie down. And I was thinking about that and how it relates to the Word of God. You know, we can't understand the Word of God unless His Spirit opens it up to us. Unless He makes Himself known to us. And I see this as part of the, if we're going to grow spiritually, we must know the Word of God. We must know the truths in the Word of God. And He makes me lie down in green pastures. He opens up His Word. He shows me the spiritual food. And He leads me there. And He enables me to eat and digest it. That's really the most important thing, is the spiritual side of life. I know we get caught up in the physical because it's the most present, it seems. But to see, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's the one who is taking care. He leads me to Himself through His Word. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet. We open up God's Word. And here's the Good Shepherd. Every time you open up God's Word, every time you open it up and you get a revelation of understanding Christ in a deeper way or get direction in your life, the Good Shepherd is leading you, His sheep, to green pastures. It's just a beautiful, beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. And what you are going to find is this, that Jesus is more than enough for you now and for all eternity. Jesus is enough. You know, my time here is limited, and I've decided I'm going to do this. However long God has me here, I don't know when that time is. God's got it. I ain't going to worry about it. I'm just going to be bragging on Jesus. So just so you know, you keep coming back here, I'm going to be bragging on Jesus the rest of the time. I'm going to talk about the name above all names, different names of Jesus, who He is for us, who He is in our lives. And so in this today, He's our Good Shepherd, and He is more than enough for all that we need. That's the picture that I see here. And He, our Good Shepherd, is the one who will guide us because it's necessary. We need help. And the reason He's such a great guide is because He knows the territory. He knows the world. He knows your struggles. So this Good Shepherd guides us because He knows the territory and the world, and He knows the needs of each specific flock. You know, each shepherd has a different flock, and that flock has strengths and weaknesses. But the Good Shepherd, the over-shepherd, is the one who guides and directs. That's why John said last week, you know, we have the elders and we're the under-shepherds is what we're called, because Jesus is the chief shepherd. Jesus is the true shepherd. He's the Good Shepherd. And He has called us to be used by Him. And so what happens is that it's still the Good Shepherd guiding. And He guides because He knows the unique needs of each flock. He knows the needs of this flock. And He's going to guide us. I have full confidence in that, not even worried about it. Why? Because I have a Good Shepherd. And I trust Him. And He's going to take care of all of the needs of the flock. He knows the world. He knows your situation. He knows the world that you live in. He knows where to lead you, how to guide you, how to direct you. That's who He is. And so He's the one that we can put our confidence in and our trust in. But here's a truth about sheep. Some sheep refuse to be led. Right? Now don't you be looking at anybody else, all right? Because we're going to, oh yeah, that, you know. No. You are that sheep, okay? We all fight being led. Right? That's who we are. That's who sheep are. You know, prone to wander, Lord. That's us. It's not somebody else. Sheep refuse to be led. They're always wanting their own way and go where they please. That's what they want. That's what sheep are like. And what's amazing is this, is that a continually wandering sheep, somebody who's constantly doing that, is not safe themselves. And here's another truth about sheep. That sheep that likes to wander is not, he's not putting himself in a safe place. But what happens is when sheep wander, other sheep have a tendency to follow. Right? They just follow. Well, he looks like he's got a pretty good plan. Let's follow him. They have even seen places where sheep, the lead sheep, will walk over a cliff and the other sheep will follow. That's how dumb sheep are, number one. But it just shows you that we're prone to wander. And we're prone to follow somebody. They're going over this way. Well, that looks like a good place. I guess I'll follow them. And we could be going into danger. Right? And that's the struggle. That's the truth about sheep. And we don't like these truths sometimes. But this is who we are. We're prone to wander. But here's the great news, the good news of the Good Shepherd, that He is patient and forgiving. He is patient and He is forgiving. Because He knows this. Here comes your theological, okay? Perk your ears up. Here it is, theological term. Because sheep do sheep things. There you go. Did you know this? My wife reminds me of this all the time. Sheep bite. Sheep bite. You've got to be careful around sheep because sheep will bite. You see, this is a picture of us. And yet we have this wonderful good shepherd. He knows that sheep are going to be sheep. He knows we're prone to wander. He knows we're going to want our own way. He knows we're this mixture of being stubborn and yet completely fearful and defenseless. He knows all these things. And yet He loves us. He pursues us. He delights in us. As I said, the focus of Psalm 23 isn't about the sheep. It's about the shepherd and the greatness of the good shepherd. And I'll say this. If we are led by the shepherd and not by our own wanderings, okay? If we are led by the shepherd into a dangerous, dark place, the sheep don't fear. Because they know they're protected by the good shepherd. And some of you who are parents, you understand this. You have a little child and maybe that child is prone to fear. And, they're kind of scared. The other thing is kids just have a sense. They kind of sense when things aren't right. And they might be a little afraid to go somewhere. And you say, son, don't worry. Come on. And they calm down, don't they? I'm with dad. I'm with mom. Not going to walk in fear. That's a picture that we have here. But sometimes, the good shepherd will lead us into dark places, hard places, trials. He will lead us there, but we won't fear because we're protected by the good shepherd. Take a look at God's Word. Psalm 23, 3 through 4. We just keep going on. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You could do a whole Sunday sermon on your rod and your staff. It's unbelievable. Go do a study, as I said, on ancient shepherding. Great study. Look at what Spurgeon said. Love this. It's not the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. For death, in its substance, has been removed. And only the shadow of it remains. When there is a shadow, there must be light somewhere. Let us then rejoice that there is a light beyond. Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway, even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. Let us not, therefore, be afraid. Let us not, therefore, be afraid, because He is our good shepherd. And we can rest in Him. It says something up here. I will fear no evil. It doesn't say that there won't be evil. Because we know well that there is evil. There is very much evil in the world today. Difficult times and trials. But what happens is that we can be comfortable. We can be secure. Because we're confident that the Good Shepherd is there. He's here with us. Just like Dad, when you were a young kid and you were afraid. The Good Shepherd is with us. We won't fear. And you see, I think that's where we struggle sometimes, is because if we go back to the beginning of this message, it's about intimacy with the Good Shepherd, right? And if our intimacy isn't there with the Good Shepherd, we're not spending our time sitting at Jesus' feet, knowing and loving Him and growing in our understanding of who He is, then what happens is that intimacy isn't there and we don't know our God. Not as well as we could. And so what happens is we walk into these places and we fear instead of having peace. I'm not worried about what's going on in the world at all. God's in charge of the nations. That's what my Bible says. I'm not worried about the November 5th election. Because God is the one who's choosing, not men. And I'm not worried about this church. Because God is the chief shepherd. I'm not worried about those things because I trust God. I trust my good shepherd. That nobody can thwart God's ways. Who's going to thwart God's ways? I want life to be comfortable. I didn't say this in the first service. I read an article about Tiananmen Square years ago. It was a Christian commenting on what happened. And they were saying how they felt, and I'm sure I'll get... You're going to have to look it up yourself. And they basically said, what happened here today was just a sign that God's church still needs more purifying. Wow. God's church needs more purifying. So I'm trusting that God's doing what is best for His people, His sheep. That we would become more in the image of Jesus. I don't know what will happen, but as I always say, I know who holds the future. And I'm not going to worry. I got to take my thoughts captive sometimes. Because there is evil in the world and there is darkness. And it says that the innocent suffer. That's all true. Well, how do I even know that? Because it's in the Word of God. But I can be confident because the shepherd is there and He will lead us through whatever is ahead of us. And whatever is ahead of you in your life, you know, I don't know. As I said earlier, we all come to church and we have our baggage. And it's hard to really open up. As John preached years ago, it's okay not to be okay. But it's so hard to really open up. But I want you to know this with confidence, that whatever you carry in here, the Lord wants you to cast those cares upon Him. He knows, He sees, He's able to handle them. Whatever it is, He's your good shepherd. He delights in you. And He wants to carry those cares. He wants you to cast those upon Him. He will lead you through the hard things. He will sustain you through the hard things. And if He leads you through hard places, or you're in a hard place right now, realize this. Please realize this. It's not without purpose. You see, God doesn't just allow trials and difficult things to happen in your life randomly. He's got a purpose behind it. He's got a purpose. And when God is leading His sheep to a green field, a green pasture, sometimes you have to go through hard, dark places to get there. That's just the truth of shepherding. Sometimes we have to go through hard things to get to the greener pasture, to get to a deeper understanding of Christ, to understand the depth of the Good Shepherd's protection and power and love. That's just part of it, people. It's just an incredible truth that strong faith comes through trials. But to know that you're not alone, whatever your trial, whatever your struggle is right now, today, God's got a purpose behind it. And the purpose is that He's going to glorify His name through it. He's leading you to a greener field where your faith will grow, your trust in Him will grow. He's got a purpose behind it. It's not random. Would you trust Him? Would you trust Him in the hardness, the hard things? What we find is that Psalm 23 portrays a Christian's life as a pilgrimage with the Good Shepherd into eternity with the Good Shepherd. Take a look at God's Word again. Psalm 23, 4 and 6. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life on earth. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, eternity. And then John 10, 27 through 28. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand. Aren't those comforting verses? Aren't they just... Yeah. You're my good shepherd. Nobody can take me. Nobody can snatch me from Your hand. No matter what happens, You have me. You care for me now and for all eternity. You will be my good shepherd. Our good shepherd constantly is providing for us. Your next breath is a gift from God. He's the one who is allowing it. The good shepherd is constantly providing and protecting you. We don't even know the stuff that He's protecting us from. Someday maybe we will say, hey, Lord, would You show me? Wow, thank You, Jesus. But we don't even know all the stuff He's protecting us from. He will continue to guide us by His Spirit and His Word. Why? Because you matter to Him. This is a journey you have with Christ. Now on this earth, but also throughout eternity. And our good shepherd is constantly caring for His sheep. And I have to go back to a point I made earlier, that sheep need constant care. Constant, day and night. That's what you need. That's what I need. And if you say I don't, then you need to be humbling yourself and asking God to forgive you for your pride, because you need Him. Day and night. And I love what I said a couple weeks ago about our Heavenly Father. And it was talking about His attentiveness. And it parallels with the Good Shepherd. He never sleeps nor slumbers. The Good Shepherd never sleeps nor slumbers over His flock or over you. Never. He is constantly attending you. And you aren't a number. You aren't just one of the people at La Crescent Free. You are His. And those words, You are with me. That is the joy and the comfort and the absolute security of every Christian. You are with me. You are with me. Jesus knows you completely. He loves you perfectly. And He wants to fellowship with you. And He desires that you experience abundant life in and through Him. Abundant life. Not just surviving, but abundant life. Take a look at God's Word again. John 10:10. The thief comes only to kill and steal, or to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Abundant life begins and ends with Christ. And we can be content because we're convinced that we will never lack anything that the Good Shepherd knows is good for us. And I wanted to challenge you, and I wanted to ask you this. to decide which one of these two are you. There's two men sitting in front of a piece of bread and a cup of water. One's a rich man, and he looks at it, and all he could think about was what he didn't have. Oh, I could have had a steak, and I got to eat this nasty bread, and the water's kind of stale, and it's not that good. And then there's this poor guy. And he looks at it, and he says this, "All this and Jesus too?" Which one are you when it comes to living this life? Do you trust Jesus? Abundant life begins and ends in Him. Would you trust Jesus in the green pastures of prosperity? It's so hard because we drift, don't we? We don't think we need Him. We got it. Things are good. I don't need anything from you, God. It's so easy to drift during those times. Trust Jesus in the green pastures of prosperity or the dark valleys of the trials of your life. He is relentlessly vigilant. He is constantly attentive. And He is patiently loving you. And He always has your best interests at heart. Brothers and sisters, trust your good shepherd. Trust Him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of You. You are our good shepherd. And we can't really understand that, Lord, what that all means. So would You open up our eyes to understand it? Would You put a hunger in our heart for You, Lord Jesus, that we would pursue You? We would understand what it looks like for You to be our good shepherd and we to be the sheep of Your flock. God, would You quiet the hearts of those who are walking maybe in fear or struggling, God, that You might meet them and show them that You will take care of it. God, we ask that You would continue to help us to follow You as You guide us to green pastures and still waters, so that through our lives, through our words, through our thoughts, You might be glorified, God. That's our heart's desire. And I pray this in the beautiful and glorious name of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's stand and continue.